It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, as we pick ourselves up from the slings and arrows of an outrageous game week 5, we'll be looking at forwards. Pookie or not Pookie, Tamo and company are dominating the point scoring, but with so many options available, which one should you be buying? Also, we'll hear why a red flag Pogba and a red-faced Otamendi could be ready for inclusion. All that and more coming up today. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thanks for joining us today. You're after some opinions and tips ahead of this weekend, and we think we have them for you. Here's Tom Williams, football journalist and author of Do You Speak Football?
Hello, James.
Lovely to see you, Tom. Lee Bonfield's also here from the Fantasy FPL family.
Hello, James.
Lovely to see you too. And also lovely to see Adrian Clark, much-travelled midfielder, Arsenal, Carlisle, Southend. I could go on, Adrian.
Yeah, there are a few. There was a very brief spell at Rotherham as well, but we'd not like to talk about that.
Okay. All right. Also these days, of course, Adrian Clark, Maverick Fantasy Manager, the man who last time here was urging people to triple captain Harry Kane just ahead of Spurs' defeat to Newcastle.
Yeah, it felt like a good idea at the time. I do feel, in retrospect, you tried to goad me into it a little bit, James. but no, it was one of those. It was so funny after it happened and Spurs lost and he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I got so many messages saying, please tell me you didn't do it. And of course I did, but yeah, I made out it was just a jinx Spurs, but it was just a really, really bad call.
Do you know what? There's been a lot of good ideas that have turned out to that have been let down by reality. That I think there's been a lot of, certainly on my part, a lot of right thinking this season. That's just I've got it right that the football's got it wrong essentially. But it's interesting that none of us had a particularly good game week. Norwich's exploits against Man City, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise. How did this go for you, game week 5, Tom?
Well, I played my wild card, which I tend to do in the first international window. So I was expecting a bumper week. I ended up scoring 57 points, which is a bit of a letdown. My three Man City players, two of whom were new signings, Raheem Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne, brought in a grand total of 4 points between them.
Right.
Liverpool's inability to keep a clean sheet cost me again. Mm. And in the end, I was rescued by the fact that I had Timo Pukki and Tammy Abraham.
Well, that's nice. So that's what went right.
Yes.
What about you, Lee? How did you do last week?
In a similar position to Tom, actually. I played my wild card and was expecting, a good week. But sadly, I had a moment on Monday Night Football where I was waiting for the Aston Villa clean sheet to come in. So that's why we love FPL, right? Because amongst all the Sterlings and the KDBs, it was Frederick Gilbert that was the key choice for me on my World Cup.
And you actually got the points there. That's nice.
Six whole points, yeah.
Which you needed because you only finished up with 44.
Quite right. Thank you, James. Week. Yes, thank
Mind
you.
Mind you, that's two more than Adrian. Mm-hmm. You wildcarded as well,
I
didn't
you? I did complete the hat-trick of wildcards. Yeah, look, I just wanted to go with the big hitter, so I managed to get Bruyne in, didn't play. Salah did okay for me. Aguero scored and Kane got an assist. So I've got those big four in my team. Around them, It was all a little bit average. Although I was pleased with my Tyrone Mings pick. He picked up 5 points.
Very nice. I feel able to out you with only 42 points because I myself got way less than that. Do you know, I only got 26 points.
Oh, yikes. Yikes.
26 Ouch. Points.
Dare we ask about your overall rank, James?
It's even lower than Adrian's. I mean, I think this is an interesting point, or maybe not, but none of us, I mean, Lee, you've got so much experience here. Tom, you traditionally do well. Adrian as well. Me, not so much. But none of us are anywhere near where we would expect to be 5 weeks into the season. Lee, you're 1.1 million in the world.
1.1, yeah.
There's almost
yeah.
7 million managers now. Adrian, you're over 4 million, and I'm even lower than you, Tom. You're 1.3, so, yeah, could do better.
Middling.
But we said at the start of the season, don't panic yet. But now can I panic?
I still think you should not panic. I think we've only 5 game weeks in. There's plenty more to go. There's just a wealth of options in all positions, actually. And a lot of people's strategies have changed since game week 1 quite significantly.
Well, you mentioned something about the fact that there are so many options being one of the problems for managers now, that whereas before you knew that a Salah, you knew that a Sterling was going to just bank you the points. Now there are so many options, particularly up front, which is something we're going to be looking at today. it's hard to know which bus to get on that particular weekend.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, normally the pool of FPL players that we all pick from is quite limited. We kind of know who to go to. But actually, there's players popping up every weekend that bag a couple of goals or a goal and assist, and all of a sudden they add themselves to that pool. So the pool is getting bigger every week. So yeah, loads of options, loads of variety in terms of the scores each week.
Helping you to pick out the best players from that pool is what we're all about in today's podcast. By the way, if you would like to join our listeners' league, then you're very welcome. It's currently led by one Brian Butler with Brian's Galacticos, but challenge him and indeed us with this league code 6QP8QK. Very good. Let's get some tips then next up on the key fixtures from game week 6. Game week 6, and it's a Friday deadline because Southampton taking on Bournemouth early. So make sure you get your teams in by 7 o'clock UK time. Lee, the fixture that's really caught your eye is Chelsea-Liverpool. Why is that?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the flanks play out in this particular game. So the Chelsea fullbacks in particular, I don't think Azpilicueta has had a great start to the season. Potentially some threat from Reece James in his position as well, although I think Reece James is probably a few weeks away from full fitness. And I noticed Alonso came in, an FPL favourite from yesteryear, right? Alonso has come back into the fold thanks to the Emerson injury. So with those guys coming in and with some uncertainty over how Frank Lampard is going to play either the two or the three at the back, I think that's going to only play into the hands of Messrs Salah, Firmino and Mane.
Chelsea yet to keep a clean sheet this season. So this is a game to get on those Liverpool goal-scoring threats.
I think it is, and we'll talk about captains a bit later on, and there's some obvious picks from a certain team in light blue, but if you look at the way that Liverpool have been attacking so far this season, and you look at Chelsea's home form, yet to win under Frank Lampard at home, yet in the league or in Europe, I think both Salah and Mane, and even Firmino now, are good options for us as FPL captaincy.
Firmino's always had a bit of an asterisk against him compared to the other two, for reasons that we'll get into later, but I wanted to ask you about Chelsea. Mason Mount picking up that injury midweek in the Champions League may be fit for this game if Frank wants to risk him in it. He's one of the names that after last week's performance, I think a lot of managers would be looking to bring in, though, Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, maybe even Tomori.
Absolutely. I think that, well, I regret certainly not being on Mount Island or Abraham Island. Mm. It's one of those, I didn't see it coming. I saw them in the Championship, I rated them, but I didn't see them having the impact they have, and certainly not in terms of the goal output. I mean, Tammy Abraham, everything he's touching is turning to gold. What I will say ahead of this game is that he's up against Virgil van Dijk. It's the ultimate test for him. He won't be quicker than van Dijk. He won't read the balls into the box faster than van Dijk. So if he is going to hit a brick wall, I suspect it might be in this fixture.
He's a really nice option, although he is overperforming right now, Tammy Abraham. If you look at his expected goal statistics, the XG, he is overperforming that. So might we see some regression? I don't know. He's been very clinical so far.
Yeah, I've got a good stat here. He's got the exact same stats as Sergio Aguero this season.
Oh, wow.
53.8 conversion rate. He's had 13 shots, same as Sergio. 8 on target, same as Sergio. It's exactly the same. You just think he's not in the same class as Sergio Aguero. So he's overperforming at the moment, and I think he will tail off. But it's been quite some feat from him so far.
Absolutely.
He's almost 5 million cheaper than Sergio Aguero. Yeah. So that's one stat that's different. Tom, meanwhile, speaking of Sergio and his Man City teammates, they're taking on Watford in an exciting rematch of the FA Cup final, which finished 6-0 to City back on the 18th of May. Are we looking at City options here, or do you think the arrival of Kike Sanchez Flores is going to lead to another Norwich-style upset?
I mean, I think we have to expect some sort of reaction from City after that defeat at Norwich. You know, it's so unusual to see them both losing and also being outplayed in the way that they were. They've got an absolutely fantastic record against Watford since Guardiola came in. 7 games, 7 wins, which include a 6-0 in the cup final, a 5-0 and a 6-0. So they like scoring goals against Watford. 27 goals for, only 3 against. Yeah. But as you say, the dynamic has changed with Watford and Kike Sanchez Flores coming in his one season as Watford manager 2015-16. He made them quite a difficult team to break down. They finished the season having conceded fewer home goals than Manchester City and kept as many clean sheets as Liverpool. Didn't score many goals, only got 40 over the course of the season. But the expectation is that he will make Watford a tougher nut to crack. So perhaps not for this week, but maybe in future weeks, one to look out for.
The issues at the back are continuing for Man City, with John Stones now going out injured for, the thinking is, around about 5 weeks. And Fernandinho coming into the back line midweek in the Champions League. Otamendi was there, didn't work out too well for him last week. I know that, I think, Lee, boldly, you're going to be suggesting that we might want to get him into our teams later on when we talk about differentials. But here's a question from Chloe Sheary, echoing many of our sentiments when, as she says, Sterling, will he score? Will he start? Will he even play? What's happening with Sterling? That's 2 game weeks he's blanked.
It's a very difficult call, isn't it? And we saw it all of last season in terms of the Pep roulette and who's going to play. Sterling played the full 90 minutes in the Champions League, whereas KDB, I think, got a bit of a rest, didn't play the whole game. So I think you have to, if you've got Sterling, you absolutely have to play him. Whether you'd want to captain him, though, not so sure.
The real Black Edo boy says, stay with Edison, Zinchenko, Walker, or transfer them out due to the injuries City now have. I must admit, as a Zinchenko owner, when I saw Stones go out, I thought, yeah, it might be time to get off that.
Yeah, quite possibly. And I think Mendy was on the bench for the Champions League as well. So there's imminent threat of rotation there, I think.
What I'll say is that the fixtures coming up for City aren't bad. And well, no matter true. How yeah. much weaker they are defensively, without Kompany, without Stones, without Laporte, crucially, they're still going to dominate most of these games. Not many teams are going to play or be able to play in the way that Norwich did against them. You might see a few trying to mimic it. But I wouldn't bank against too many clean sheets, even if you don't rate the individuals. I'm no Otamendi fan, but I'm considering bringing him in because of the fixtures.
I think you're spot on. And what was interesting about the Norwich game is that he dropped Kevin De Bruyne in that game, famously, as we all know from an FPL perspective. But with Kevin De Bruyne, they keep the ball so much better. So I just expect them to have more of the ball, more possession. That'll be harder for the opposition.
Any other fixtures that leap out at you, Adrian?
Oh, Leicester Spurs is quite a good one, isn't it? I think it's difficult to predict. It depends which side you want to go on. I've got Harry Kane in my team and I won't be captaining him. I can't triple captain him, of course. I've wasted that one. But he has a brilliant record against Leicester City. They're one of the teams that he scored the most goals against. Son Heung-min, who was just sensational, wasn't he, last weekend?
Yes, very much. Son was a top scorer in
he's
last week.
Got a good record at the King Power Stadium. So those are two players that you might want to look towards.
And another Spurs player who really shone last week, 14 points, only a couple less than Son, was Serge Aurier.
Absolutely.
We'll see him, because this was the thing, then midweek disappointing for Spurs, but there were a lot of changes from Pochettino with Son and Aurier dropping out of the starting lineup.
He's got more pedigree than a Walker Peters. He's more natural there than Davinson Sanchez. If he continues to play that way, he could be a smart pick in the weeks to come. I'd avoid him for this week based on the fact that Leicester, I can see scoring in the game, and Tottenham's away form is really brittle. That's 8 now without a win on the road. It's fairly dodgy from their perspective. So I don't think I'd be going with a Spurs defender.
Up against the Jamie Vardy, who scored 4 goals in his last 4 against Spurs and famously licks his lips at the sight of a top 6 side. Very good. We were mentioning Man City having some great fixtures coming up. So next up, let's take a long view at which sides got the most green on their fixture list. Long view, as we take a slightly more long-term view to our planning in terms of transfers in and out. Fixtures coming up over the next 6 weeks. Who's got the nicest run of games? To be frank, it's probably Man City. Check it out on the wonderful and very downloadable fixture calendar available on the Fancy Premier League website. City with a dream run of games. But there's some other clubs as well who you might want to keep an eye on. Burnley's fixtures look good. Also, Tom Williams, Arsenal's run of games. Now, what you do with that information, I don't know, given their current shakiness. But they've got Aston Villa at home, Man United away, Bournemouth at home, Sheffield United away, and then Crystal Palace and Wolves at home. What are you looking at? Are you looking at in terms of any Gunners' assets?
I think the issue that Arsenal have had so far this season is that they're so porous defensively, particularly of late. They've let in 7 goals in the last 3 games. So, you know, even with favourable fixtures, you have to be cautious. Having said that, we know they've got players coming back. Hector Bellerin, Kieran Tierney will both come into the first 11, who should strengthen things a little bit at the back. The one area where you can rely on Arsenal a bit more is up front. We've seen that already. Obviously, Alexander Lacazette being out is a massive blow, both in terms of the goals that he scores himself and his fundamental role in sort of knitting together the Arsenal attack.
Interesting, because my reaction to that was, oh, does that mean Aubameyang's a more solid choice? But you suggest that that might actually have a detrimental effect on his chances.
I mean, I think what it means is that Arsenal will have to learn to play in a different way. And OK, they've not been able to play with that front three of Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe all that much so far, but that is clearly the plan going forward, and this will oblige Emery to have a rethink. But yeah, I think if you look at Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, what we've seen quite a lot this season, that he's been used as one of the wider players, whereas in Lacazette's absence, he'll be playing through the middle and ergo should get more goal-scoring chances. Also, Lacazette being out diminishes the risk of rotation, so you can pick Aubameyang and Pepe without too much fear that they're not going to play. And I think given that fixture list, might be worth having a punt on an Arsenal forward or two.
Do you reckon, Lee, you tempted?
I am. I would concur with everything that's been said. Aubameyang is the one that scares me, not having him in my FPL team. Certainly in the last game week, whenever he got a touch of the ball, particularly in that first half against Watford, just looks so dangerous. And Lacazette being out, yeah, means Aubameyang is through the middle, all good. But Pepe is one to keep an eye on. I don't think he's really hit the heights that we were expecting yet, but underlying stats look pretty good. Depends how Emery rolls out that system, but yeah. I think he's a good pick.
Oh, he's a top player. It just hasn't quite come off for him so far. He's shown flashes of brilliance. He's creating a lot of chances, Pepe, so I think he'll be a forward that scores and gets assists. And looking at the run of fixtures, those home games, Bournemouth, Palace, Wolves, they might be the games where it really, and Villa this weekend, might be the time where he kickstarts his Arsenal career. And judging by what he did in French football, once he gets going and that confidence flows, he could be a dark horse.
Do you feel like he's trying a bit too hard at the minute, Adrian?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But and that's why he just needs to scuff one in. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. And then I think he'll feel more at home. He'll know that the fans are less on his case and he can relax into it. But he is a really talented player. And in Lacazette's absence, I expect, and actually I think Unai Emery will expect him to step up and deliver the end product that's been missing so far.
Key fact with Pepe for fantasy managers is that he's actually listed as a midfielder in Fantasy Premier League. So more points per goals. Norwich have got decent fixtures coming up for people who haven't just sold Pookie on Saturday morning before. but moving on, Chelsea, they've got a nice run of games as well, as have West Ham. Now, when you talk about players that make you nervous because you don't have them, as opposed to the ones that I do have who make me nervous, players who you would like to get in, there's a bunch of them at West Ham, Lee.
Yeah, there are. And I think, the West Ham are quietly building a really nice-looking side there. Haller has come in and hit the ground running. A few goals and assists. Actually could have had more. I think there was a penalty that wasn't given by VAR, which he could have had a couple of game weeks ago. But it's actually the supporting cast that interests me. Yarmolenko, I think he's still at his original price of 6.0 million in FPL, may have gone up or down 0.1.
He's actually dropped to 5.9.
Oh, he's dropped. Okay, it's even more of a bargain, Yarmolenko. So he looks really nice. Lanzini in particular, two assists already in FPL, looking very creative. So that cast supporting Allaire is definitely worthy of attention.
Although it wasn't a cast that was able to do anything particularly away at Villa on Monday night.
True, but in the previous four game weeks, I think they've shown enough that actually that could be a little bit of a blip. They did play, I think, the last 20 or so minutes with 10 men as well, so Masuaku got sent off. So assuming they can keep 11 players on the pitch, they're good picks.
Love a low ownership player, which is why I'm excited about our next bit, which is essential differential. Essential differential, where you're going to pick out for us a player, or two, if you will, who's got low ownership, but you think is going to have big returns. Adrian, you were torn between a couple of names here, weren't you? Tyrone Mings was one of them.
Yeah, well, I've got him, but I might sub him out because Villa have a good record at Emirates, but you wouldn't expect them to keep a clean sheet. So right. I might sub him out.
He has so many ways, just to quickly interject, he's got so many ways of getting your points, though, even if they don't get a clean sheet.
Yeah, he's a colossal figure, isn't he?
So maybe not for this week. 5.8% ownership, 4.6% million is the price. Who instead, though, would you advise?
Well, the other two, very briefly, Lanzini is There's only two players in the Premier League that have created more chances than Lanzini this season, which I think is a really interesting stat because he takes a lot of their set pieces. Yep. So he's someone to keep an eye on. I think he's 6.6. So Lanzini, with that good run of fixtures, might be someone to bring in for the medium term. But I'm going to actually pick out Paul Pogba, who has been on the treatment table. It might seem a bit random, but...
He's got a red flag on him still. Yeah. It says 50% chance of playing.
Yeah, I saw that he'd done an Instagram post. He's got his boots on. He's out there training, which indicates that he's not far away from a return. And I think that they would throw him back in at West Ham United if he is fit enough. Think about it. They are a side that are still lacking creativity. He's very much their main man. And I think for 8.5 million, he represents quite good value, actually. He's got two assists already, even though no one's talking about Pogba. Last year, 13 goals, 9 assists in what we'd probably regard as a bang average campaign. Mm. He's a point scorer when he's right. And I think now that we know that he's here for the season, or at least, yeah, I think he is here for the season, he'll knuckle down, I think, and deliver.
It's 5.1% his ownership, and 8.5 million is the price. So he's not cheap. Tom, you were nodding there. Are you convinced by that?
Not to the extent that I am considering bringing Paul Pogba in. But no, I think Andrew makes a good point. And it's easy to overlook Pogba because when he's not quite at it, he attracts so much negative publicity. But as a fantasy football player, he's actually got decent credentials.
Just not sure for the price whether he offers the returns. Who would you advise us instead?
Well, I'm going to go for John McGinn, who I've had in since the second week of the season. One goal, one assist and two clean sheets so far for Aston Villa. But the thing with McGinn that really strikes you, and people talk about the eye test in fantasy Premier League circles, but you watch Villa play and he's everywhere. Like from first minute to last, he covers so much grass. He gets so many shots away. And beyond this weekend's trip to Arsenal, Villa have got some really decent fixtures. Burnley at home, Norwich away, Brighton home in particular. But even this weekend, Arsenal, as I said before, have let in 7 goals in the last 3 games. And McGinn plays every single second of Villa's matches. And you can guarantee that he'll probably get opportunities.
He's got one of the best left feet I've seen in many years. Yes. Honestly.
Yeah, he's
that goal he scored last season, the volley, it's one of the best goals I think I've ever seen.
Who's passing your eye test in terms of differentials, Lee?
So mine is a little bit controversial, James, given that he had a pretty bad game week 5. But Nicola Otamendi has got to be nailed on in that Man City back line now because, frankly, they don't have many other options. 5.4 million in the game, 2.3% owned, but I think he'll get points at both ends of the pitch.
Right.
So he showed a significant amount of goal threat in the game against Norwich. And I think with the returning KDB, who Pep, you know, he can't leave KDB out again after what happened against Norwich. So they'll hold more of the ball, they'll keep the ball better, be all harder for the opposition to score goals. Otamendi, I think they'll bounce back against Watford, keep the clean sheet, and he'll have aerial threat from corners. We saw that against Norwich. There was one where Sterling lobbed it over to Otamendi, and I owned them both. I had Sterling captain and Otamendi playing in my first 11 in FPL. I was willing it in, but Kroll saved it. So I was a bit disappointed by that.
Right, so Otamendi, you recommendy.
You could say that, James, yes.
Good. Oh, great picks, everybody. Next up, we're going to be answering some tweets from listeners. Hashtag FPLpod is the way to get in touch with us here. Wednesday, we were asking, which forwards are you considering in FPL but unsure about, and what makes you unsure about them? And there's a reason for this, because forwards have suddenly become the way, the driving force behind big point returns in fantasy Premier League. Last couple of seasons, it's been about the midfielders. They've dominated the high scoring charts in terms of points. Right now, though, when you look at the total points scored this season, 10 of the top 15 scorers are forwards. Here's a question from Luke Zammit. And first of all, Luke Zammit is the genius, the seer, who last week asked us, should he double up on Norwich forwards? At the time, we chuckled.
Oh, wow.
But come Saturday afternoon, who was laughing? Mm. It wasn't Luke, because he didn't actually double up.
Sorry,
I mean,
Luke.
Great shout, Luke. Anyway, Luke's question this week says, is it worth getting Abraham in, 7.3 million, or wait until after the Liverpool game? What do you think?
I think wait. Yeah, yeah? I just don't see him in this head-to-head getting the better of Virgil van Dijk. We saw Chelsea in the Champions League as well against Valencia. Not toothless as such, but they struggled against Leicester City. They couldn't kick on after a bright start. There's a slight issue at home for Chelsea at the moment. And as I said earlier, Abraham's stats, I think, are unmaintainable.
There is a broader question, though, amongst that melee of mid-priced forwards. You've got Abraham Pukki, of course, Ashley Barnes, and as Bernard Bronze points out, Callum Wilson in there too. Wilson says Bernard is going under the radar, has returns in every game so far. I can't choose between Aubameyang, Barnes and Wilson. Who do you go with? Do you go with Abraham, who's top scorer right now in Premier League?
I've got Abraham. I brought him in when I used my wild card, and he delivered the goods last weekend with that fantastic performance against Wolves. And if you look at his last three performances, 13 points in the 3-2 win at Norwich, another 13 points in the 2-2 draw against Sheffield United, and then 14 points last time out. Wolves, a team who generally don't concede all that many goals. And as we've said, his underlying stats suggest that that's perhaps not sustainable. But there's a heck of a lot to be said for a player who's just in form. And you right, think certainly. If the Tammy Abraham of the first 2 weeks, where he was getting shots away that were hitting the post or that were being saved, if a chance falls to him in that sort of state of mind, maybe he misses it. But this is a guy who scored 7 goals in his last 3 games. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he is absolutely red hot at the moment. I agree with Adrian. If I didn't have him in, I wouldn't be bringing him in for this week, but I've got
but
him in my team.
You just wildcarded, so who did you bring in up front?
I already had Tamer Pukki, so I brought in Abraham to play alongside him. I've also got Mason Greenwood as a facilitator.
I see.
I'm not sure how long he's going to be there, but for the moment I'm kind of stuck with him.
What's the answer, Lee? Barnes, Wilson, Pukki, or Abraham?
Well, I think the challenge is the answer could be all of them, James. That's the challenge. I think of all of the picks that you've mentioned, Callum Wilson gets a shout out from me. Right. If you look at the underlying stats from the first 4 game weeks, he was bubbling along at about 5 points. I think he got 5 points in each of his first game weeks. So there we are, a return every week. But as FPL managers, we all piled off, right? Because we wanted Barnes and Pukki. He went down 0.2 in price, so you can now snap him up for 7.8 million, I think. So there he is, bubbling along on the stats, and then bang, here he goes in game week 5, gets the 2 goals, a really nice performance and really put Everton's defence to the sword. Everton, I didn't think were great defensively, but Wilson took his chances very, very well. So yeah, bargain price, 7.8 now, and returned in every week, so what's not to like?
Bans, one other question here, talking about Firmino, but Ban says, I am unsure of him because he doesn't score a lot of goals. This has always been the knock on Roberto Firmino, fabulous player though he is. Lee, you think the numbers this season suggest that he is going to be an asset along the lines of Mane and Salah?
I do, yeah. I think we're seeing a very different Roberto Firmino this year. You know, I think last year he was the fulcrum in the middle and it really benefited Mane and Salah in terms of FPL points. We are still seeing that because we are still seeing little flicks and tricks from a very confident Firmino. The assist for Salah's goal last weekend was, I think I watched it on replay about 5 or 6 times. It was so good. But he's being even more creative this year, and he's taking more shots. So I think Firmino is a really nice asset. Would you have him instead of Mane or Salah? I don't know. Possibly not. But if you want a differential and want to go with Mane or Salah plus Firmino and get into that Liverpool attack, I wouldn't back against it. Just keep an eye on those fixtures because Liverpool do have some tough games coming up.
Super. Plenty of food for thought there. Let's just check then before we wrap up today on what last-minute moves you guys are planning ahead of the, remember, 7 o'clock on Friday deadline for game week 6. Adrian, you've got something out of left field.
I'm going to be very boring this week and not make any changes. Ah. I've got a wild card, so I'm just going to take stock.
That's fair, isn't it?
But I've got a plan in place for next week, injury permitting. I don't like the look of Everton's fixtures. I didn't like that performance at Bournemouth from them. No. Then the away form is iffy for Marco Silva's men. So it's controversial because Digne is a great points scorer, but he is quite expensive. So I'm considering getting rid of him, bringing in Otamendi, which will free up cash to get rid of one of my facilitators, as you described it, that's always on the bench, and bring in Cantwell, who's been excellent goal scorer, playing in off Pukki. So Otamendi and Cantwell will come in, providing they get through this weekend, all right?
Super. Tom, what about you?
Also looking at bringing in Todd Cantwell, who I considered picking last week when I deployed my wild card and then decided against it because obviously Norwich are home to Man City. They're not going to win that.
Don't get any points for considering, Tom.
Sadly not. And one thing, you know, you look at Norwich, even when they have lost this season, players like Pukki and Cantwell have picked up points. Away at Burnley this weekend, not the easiest place to go in true Premier League cliche, but a decent run of fixtures beyond that, away at Palace, home to Villa, away at Bournemouth. I was considering upgrading Leander Dendonca to Todd Cantwell, but I've just checked and I can't actually afford to do that. So
right.
I
it's
might
a,
just
it's heartbreaking
find a quiet
stuff.
Corner and, so. And rock myself to sleep.
So you're not going to do anything, basically?
It doesn't look like it, no, James.
Lee, how about you? Are you going to do something?
I wish I could tell you I was, James, but no, in true wildcard fashion, I'm taking stock, as Adrian quite rightly right. says. Pepe came in for me on my wild card as a bit of a two-week punt. I yes. took him in as a trial against Watford and against Villa now at home this game week. He did not pass that trial against Watford. So okay. depending on his performance against Villa this weekend, he could be on the chopping block if he doesn't get something.
Well, you've all just wildcarded. That makes total sense. I haven't. I've still got that, which is pretty much all I'm clinging to at the moment. And it might happen before Friday's deadline. But I think that the players I've got, I mean, they've got to come good sooner or later. Sterling's got to come good. Kane.
Patience, James, patience.
Yeah.
No, I think the opposite. Do just do it, James. For it. You're playing catch up. Why don't you
yeah.
triple captain Sterling this weekend? Just go for it like I did.
Sound advice from a gentleman who is 4.1 million overall rank agent.
Well, you know what? It's Man City against Watford, the team they destroyed 6-0 in the cup final in May.
And if you don't triple captain Sterling now on Adrian's right. advice and he yeah. scores five
there
goals,
you go.
Yeah.
will you be able to live with yourself?
No. Or with him? No.
It could be so, your last appearance, Adrian, right. on the
Is that your captain shout for this weekend then, Adrian?
No, I'm going with Aguero. No, I haven't got Sterling, but I would certainly go with
If you had the yeah. two, you'd still go Aguero?
Yeah.
Okay. Aguero, your captain pick. I've already had mine, courtesy of Adrian. What about you, Lee?
So I would also go Aguero if I had him, given that he was rested in the Champions League. I don't. Sterling played 90 minutes, but nevertheless, I think it's going to be him. Could be Kevin De Bruyne, the form that he's in. One of those
really
City players,
worrying
for sure.
about Sterling getting the 90 minutes midweek. We saw De Bruyne kept on the bench until the second half last weekend at Carrow Road. So is that going to happen to Sterling again? It's really scary if you think about putting an armband on one of those Man City players. Great though the fixture is. Tom, what are you thinking about with your armband?
I mean, it's something that doesn't really get written about all that much, but the complete lack of regard that Pep Guardiola has for fantasy football managers, for me, is a massive black mark against his name. And you can quite easily imagine Sterling being on the bench when yeah. the teams are announced. I've got Sterling as captain at the moment with De Bruyne as my backup option, so I'm going to give that some consideration over the hours ahead.
So a Man City player with the armband, whether it's Aguero or Sterling. Nobody else getting any love out there?
A big shout out for Liverpool, my team, and maybe I'm a bit biased, but that Chelsea defence has not looked that solid so far this season. And with those fullbacks out of form a little bit, Chelsea's home form not that great, Salah and Mane could do very well. So shout out to those as well.
And Liverpool away from home, if you had to pick one of the two, Sadio Mane, generally speaking, does better on the road.
That seems to be how the form book has gone so far, yeah.
He did pretty well at home last time.
He did.
Yeah. Excellent. Whatever you do with your armband, with your captain pick, listener, do it by 7 o'clock on Friday evening. In fact, well before that, if you can, because it's an unusual time to have the deadline. It's so easy to forget to get to about 8 o'clock. The game starts on Friday and you remember, oh my word, I've left all those players in that I wanted to clear out. Anyway, that's the deadline, 7 o'clock UK time on Friday evening. In the meantime, if you want to sign up for our league, if you're not already part of it, the code is 6QP8QK. And if you have a question for us or anything you want advice on, tweet it to us with the hashtag FPLPod. Loads of other ways, by the way, you can also get advice on your teams. There's the FPL FYI show, which you can see on the Premier League's YouTube channel. And there's also the FPL show on the Premier League's website and available through the app. And you can get links to all of those on the article that's currently up on the Premier League website. My words, there's no excuse for getting only 26 points in a game week like I did last time. Never mind, game week 6 is going to be better for all of us. Many thanks to Adrian, Tom and Lee for being with us today, and you, listener, as well. Have yourselves a great game week 6. We'll see you same place next week. Bye-bye.